Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Good morning, good morning, and it is a joy, a privilege, and a blessing to be back with you on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Dr. Jerry Robinson, and we want to tell you that we bring greetings in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe, and that's what we've been doing. We're running into the place where the Lord has wanted to keep us. It's been a while since we've done our podcast, and we just want to say that we're glad to be back on the air and to share with you one more time again the infallible, uncompromised, and inerrant Word of God. It has not changed. It will always be the same. As one man said, it's in Scripture, it's from everlasting to everlasting because the Word is the Lord and He is God. And we are so excited about His Word because His Word brings us life. In Him we live, in Him we move, and we have our being. And that's in His Word. Well, we've been praising God and giving Him the glory for all the great things that He's done. And we want to say that we've been doing some things that have been assigned to us concerning areas of concern for our ministry and what we have sought to do in the days to come. Our vision has been expanded, and we are looking to do some things in other states. As a matter of fact, we've already employed some of those things. They've already started. And we're working furiously and hard to bring to pass some of the greatest things that we believe that the Lord is doing for our ministry in these last days. Well, today we want to talk to you concerning this particular topic, the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord today is a scripture reference. It will be out of Psalms 33 and verse 8. Psalms 33 verse 8 describes something that the psalmist said very, very clearly to the believers, to the people of God in that day. And he begins to expound upon what he believed that would be prevalent for, as we call them, the Israelites or the Hebrews of that day in terms of their allegiance to the Lord. And he begins that song by saying this: "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." Now you say, well, what does that have to do with the fear of the Lord? Well, as we journey through this Psalms, we're going to get down to a place in Scripture here in verse 8 where it says, "And let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." Something that's happened in our ministry since the last time we talked on these Blog Talk Radio's episodes, and that is that the Lord began to impress upon me some things that was happening in the body of Christ and some things that I believe that are very, very important to us as believers in these last days. One of the things that the Lord began to share with me as I've been preaching in series and episodes is that we have for some reason or somehow, we have been taken away from the spirit of praise. In other words, we are not giving God as a whole, as a people, as a band of believers. And this is what the Lord inspired in my spirit. Praise. We have been giving him the praise that's due to his name. And I'm just talking about being emotional. That's a part of praise, of course. You cannot be, you cannot praise God without being emotional. But that does not mean that because you're emotional that you're moving him. We move him by faith. But praise is a part of our arsenal as of such that brings us to a place of reverence. Now, I know that is a little bit of a different twist to what our praise is and what our praise does, but two areas that the Lord impressed upon me, two areas that he very vividly spoke to me and shared with me that because we don't praise him, simply mean, in essence, that we are not also reverencing him. Because when you praise somebody, that means you honor them. When you praise somebody or anything, that means you give that particular that particular place an honor or a glory. So now what I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying to us is that these things work hand in hand. If you begin to praise God, you're going to reverence him. In the book of Psalms, here the Bible says that the psalmist who so eloquently writes, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Now, you would think that the way he's dealing with this particular psalms, he's giving us here a commandment, really. He says, rejoice. He's not asking us to. He's telling us, and with no uncertain terms, that we should rejoice in the Lord. And that simply Hebrew means to shout for joy. And so some people believe that the psalmist out of the 32nd psalm, at the 11th verse, that the 11th verse of the 32nd psalm should have been the first verse of the 33rd psalm, because the psalmist comes out of the 32nd psalm saying, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And then he goes on to Psalm 33 and says, rejoice in the Lord, all ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Now, expositors are saying that we should tie these two scriptures together, and that the Psalms 33 and 11 should be Psalms 33 and starting verse 1, because it rolls into Psalms 33 and 1. But I just want to say that, listen, it doesn't matter what, because they said that they have no recorded record and that we should leave the Psalms alone. And I believe that with all my heart. We should not try to add or take away from the Word of God. But let me tell you something. The Word of God is living, it's vibrant, and it's connected. Psalms 11, 32 and 11 is actually just a continuation of Psalms 33. It is all of this word. The Word of God is connected because it starts from Genesis to Revelation. It gives us the very mind and the understanding of the mindset of who God is. So, I mean, regardless of what we read through expository reading and what we find out through history and study, the Word of God is connected. It's alive, and it's line upon line and precept upon precept. And I thought I would just say that, because what the psalmist is exhorting here is for us as believers to focus our attention on and put all of our reverence into the fact that we should praise or honor the Lord. And this is what he's simply saying. Now, he gives us here, in this particular passage, he says, be glad in the Lord, in the 11th verse of Psalm 32, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Now, he defines that word there in the area of rejoice. He says, shout for joy. He says, be glad in the Lord. He's given us a final instruction here in Psalms 32. He says, be glad in the Lord. Now, in Psalms 32, he's giving us reasons why we should be glad in the Lord. He says, be glad in the Lord because you're righteous. And righteous simply means that we have been put in right standing with God. So now he begins to give us what Psalms, I have to expound on this a little bit so we can understand what he's really saying in Psalms 33. Now, in Psalms 32, he's telling us the blessings of a righteous man. First, he exhorts us that in verse 1, a righteous man is forgiven of his sin, because in Psalms 32, he says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, in the Old Testament, they would use bullocks and bulls and turtle doves and all of the animals that God had instructed them to bring to him for a sacrifice of sin. And so what the psalmist was saying simply here is that there's our sin, or that righteous man's sin, hallelujah, had been forgiven. So that was one reason why he should praise God, because his sin had been forgiven, or his sins, or your sins and my sins, were covered. The second reason he gives in Psalms, in that same Psalms in verse 1, he said, your sins are covered and are atoned for. In other words, somebody else has paid the price for something that you did wrong, but yet the price was paid so that you would not receive the penalty. And so he's exhorting us now. He's giving us reason why we should praise God. In other words, he's saying a righteous man has reason to praise the Lord. Now, in the next verse, he's explicitly telling us that those sins have not been put to our charge. And this is in verse 2 of that. He says, now, he goes on to say, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. In other words, this is not the sin that was committed, or we committed against the Lord. It's not laid to our charge. So there's somebody else who has atoned for that sin. And because they atoned for it, that gives us even more reason, the psalmist is saying, to praise the Lord. So he said, now we have been given freedom from sin. And this is explicitly shared with us in verse 4. Listen, he says now, excuse me, in verse 3 he says, when I keep silent, my bones wax old through my roaring all the day long. In other words, he's saying, I can't praise God being silent. I can't praise God with my mouth closed. I can't give him honor and glory and majesty and dominion and power and the very things that are due to him with my mouth closed. I must open my mouth and give him praise. In one instance, he said, clap your hands, O ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. In other words, my mouth must be open. He said, shout aloud of his joy. Shout for joy. Now, shout means to actually open your mouth. Shout means to actually give advent to what you are giving praise to. So God, the psalmist is saying, rejoice in the Lord. Now, how do you do that? A righteous man has every reason. He's given us here 12 reasons why we should rejoice in Psalms 32. Now, the next thing he says is after we've known that we are free from sin, he says the mercies of the Lord. In verse 5, he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And now the psalmist is saying, you have had mercy on me. And so because you've had mercy on me, and then he says, Selah, that means, it is so, it's amen. He said, I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to give, in one place he said, I will just offer unto God bullocks and turtle doves and the things that he's required of me through an animal. But in one Psalms he said, you know what, those things are delightful to me, but and I will give the Lord everything that I have and all that I am. He said, but I'm going to do something today that's very different than everybody. Look at him. And they said, so, well, Davis, what are you going to do? What are you going to offer the Lord that's more than what we already have in the physical realm that we can see? He said, I'm going to offer him something that we can hear, but we can't see visibly with our eyes. And then he said, I'm going to give him the sacrifice of praise. I'm going to show you some things that are happening on with me on the outside. But actually, this praise that I'm going to give him is coming from the inside. And so when he was saying, I'm going to praise him out of my spirit. I'm going to praise him out of the true and real meaning of who I am. So he says, I'm going to give a sacrifice of praise. So a righteous man has every reason and every right to praise the Lord. Now, why? Because in verse 6, he says, he's not overwhelmed with sorrow. You know, God says, for this shall everyone know that he is God, but pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the flood of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto me. So what he's saying here is that nothing. And then he goes into verse 7, says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. In other words, he's saying, God, you are my place. You have you've delivered me from sorrow. You've given me a hiding place. And now you've given me preservation, a place where I can hide from trouble. Oh, isn't that wonderful today? That God keeps us out of trouble, keeps us from trouble. When trouble comes, the Bible says, the psalmist even said one day and said, the Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. Oh, isn't that good news today to know that God, he is a safe place. He's a safe haven. He is a place where we can run and be able to know that we have shelter. Amen. So these are the reasons why the psalmist said we should rejoice in the Lord. He said we're going to pass about with songs of deliverance. He said you delivered me in a time when I was in trouble. He said you preserved me from trouble. You delivered me from trouble. And now I'm going to rejoice in you. I'm going to give you praise. In other words, you delivered me from things I could see, and you delivered me from things I couldn't see. So now I'm righteous because of that. And now you made me that way because you've forgiven me my sins. And now I've given you the honor and the glory. You know, I've heard some people say, well, I just don't have any reason to praise the Lord. Well, let me tell you something. Yes, you do. We have every reason. We have every right as believers, and these Hebrews as well in the days of the Old Testament have every right to praise the Lord for all the things that he had done unto them. As a matter of fact, it was even recorded through the prophet Moses in the book of Exodus when the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of bondage as he came into Egypt through the prophet Moses and began to proclaim to the Pharaoh to let my people go. And because they wouldn't let him go, the Bible says that he shared with them that I'm going to send plagues. I'm going to send all the things that are going to cause you to understand that I am God and there is none like me in all the earth. And Pharaoh began to see the plagues as they came. As a matter of fact, God sent 10 plagues into Egypt to show the Pharaoh that it was a time of deliverance for the children of Israel that he must let them go. And the Bible says that the children of Israel saw the hand of God move on every occasion and in everything. And the Bible says that God began to move so mightily that in the last move of his spirit, after he killed the firstborn of the Pharaoh released the children of Israel. But it was not because he wanted to. The scripture said that his heart had been hardened, and not just by the Lord, but his heart was already hard before that because he did not desire to let the children go. But because God, the Bible says, even as the psalmist said in verse 7 of 32, that you delivered me out of trouble. You compassed me. You got me out of a situation. You removed me from the bondage that I was in. So I'm going to praise you. Have you been in bondage lately? Is there anything that you're dealing with? Does it seem like you've been under the thumb of Pharaoh as it was in the days of the children of Israel? Does it seem like that you just can't get through what you're dealing with? Does it seem like God is not going to show up? Does it seem like nothing that you're doing is going right? Does it seem that way today? But friend, I came to tell you some good gospel news that God is willing and he is more than ready to bring deliverance to them who cry out to him. So now in that same psalm, in verse 8, the Bible says, of that 32nd psalm, I'm just leading you up to something. These are the reasons why a righteous man should praise the Lord. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way. This is the Lord talking to the righteous man, which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Listen, look, if there's nothing else that we want in this world, we just want to know the instruction of the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to, how do you want me to act? How do you want me to respond in my life? And God says, look, because I've forgiven you of your sin, what I'm going to do is I will instruct you and teach you. In other words, God said, I'm going to take out time. I'm going to be your instructor. I'm going to be your tutor. I'm going to be your mentor. I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to come right into you and your presence because you are my righteousness. And I'm going to instruct you on the things that you should do and the places that you should go and the things that you should say and the ways that you should behave and how you should act. He said, not only that, I'm going to guide you with mine eye. I'm going to take you into places where my eyes tell you to go, how my eyes will lead you into the path in which you should walk. Now, listen, if that's not a reason right there enough to praise the Lord, I don't know what is. God is not only saying I'm going to deliver you from sin, but I'm going to take you to a place that I have designed for you from the foundation of the world. I'm going to put you in your wealthy place. Listen, I'm going to put you in a place of worship. I'm going to put you in a place of praise. Now, look, I know sometimes it seems like we're going through some of the hardest times in our lives, but these are the times when God shows up the most, when it seems like there's no hope for us, when it seems like there's no help for us. That's when he comes in to give us, hallelujah, he gives us his assurance that he is there. He said, I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you into everything. He said, I'm going to instruct you on what to do, and I'm going to guide you in the places that you go. These are the reasons a righteous man should pray. But listen, he goes on to say, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with you, with the bit and the bridle, lest they come near unto thee. In other words, he's saying, but the horse is dumb, the mule is dumb, and all they know is that he said that they don't have an understanding of why they do what they do. He said, but you have an understanding of why you do what you do. He says, many sorrows shall be of the wicked, but they that trust in the Lord, mercy shall compass him. Now, he's giving you all these reasons as a righteous person why you should praise him. And he said, you will compass with songs of deliverance. My God, hallelujah. He says you will compass with songs of deliverance. In verse 7, he says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Have you ever been in a place and all of a sudden you just start singing a song you've never heard before? Or you start singing a verse that you've never, ever, ever, that never come across your lips before? He said, I give you, God said, I'm going to give you songs of deliverance. And I believe that, praise God, that God gives us new songs in circumstances and situations that we are faced with, and out of that we are birthing songs. We're birthing the newness of our deliverance. The Bible says that when the children of Israel, after they had been confronted by the Pharaoh at the Red Sea, and the devil, or the Pharaoh at that time, who was the representation of the enemy, was about to encompass, compass around about them to destroy them, that the Lord says that Moses lifted his rod in Egypt. I mean, not in Egypt, but at the precipice of the Red Sea. And the Bible says that the children of Israel walked across on dry land. And when the Pharaoh tried to pursue them, and the Bible says that when he did that, trying to copycat, trying to show that he could also pursue, you know what? I just want to tell you something. The devil can't pursue you in a miracle. He can't. He cannot. When God worked a miracle for you, he can't pursue you. The enemy, Pharaoh at that time, tried to pursue the children of Israel after the miracle was opened up to them through the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry land. He came behind them to bring benefit. But the Bible says, when he came, the floods of the water consumed him. And the Bible says that when the children of Israel saw him, saw that Pharaoh was consumed And the next day when they got up, they saw that the carcass and the remains of all of what the enemy tried to do had been swept upon the water on the shore. The scripture says, and Miriam grabbed a tamarind, and she began to give praise unto God and said, blessed be the name of the Lord who has destroyed the horseman and the rider. Let me tell you something. He'll give you a new song today. They broke out in praise. They broke out in adoration. They broke out in the reverence of the Lord. They began to give him praise for what he had done for them. And that's why the song said, when he delivers a righteous man, he gives him a new song. That's the reason why we should praise the Lord. Listen, he goes on to tell them, he says, I'm not going to just only give you a new song of deliverance, I'm giving you divine instruction. He told them that through what he said, I will instruct you and I'll teach you. Then he says, I'll give you guidance. And the last thing he says, I will compass you with mercy and psalms. Hallelujah. 32 in verse 10, he says, many sorrows shall be the wicked, but the Lord trusted. But he that trusted in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Let me tell you something. These are the reasons and the attributes why a righteous man should praise the Lord. And that's why he ends that Psalm 32 in verse 11 by saying, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And then he goes into Psalms 32 by saying, 33, excuse me, by saying, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Let me tell you what he was saying there. There he is as he begins this particular psalm, as he begins this particular verse. He said, look, shout for joy. Be glad. Know that you have reasons why you should praise the Lord. Now look, I'm getting happy already. Just thinking about all the things that this righteous man has a reason to praise God for. Listen, now I see, praise God, that, and listen, there are praises upon my lip, even while I'm saying this, even while I'm sharing this word with you. The praise of the Lord is on my lips. Man, if that's not enough reason right there, as a righteous person to praise the Lord, then I don't know if we can have any more. I know that there are many other reasons. I believe that, and I know that. But those reasons right there, the psalmist begins to exhort the righteous. He begins to exhort the children of Israel that a righteous man should praise the Lord. He says, rejoice, shout for joy. Rejoice in the Lord. In other words, don't rejoice in other things. Don't rejoice in your house. Don't rejoice in your abundance of wealth. Don't rejoice in the even to the tearing down of your enemy. He says, but rejoice in the Lord. They began to sing unto the Lord. They didn't sing unto their enemy. They began to sing unto the Lord. The Bible says they rejoice in the Lord. If you want to make the Lord hilarious, if you want to make him glad, if you want to lift him up, if you want to make him feel good, I hear the psalmist also say this. He said that, praise is common for the upright. He says, now, listen, the Lord, as we come into the runway of the program today, of the podcast, he says, listen, he said, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Did you not know that God lives in your praise? That God inhabits your praise? That God, his habitation is in your praise? His actual existence and who he is dependent upon in your and my praise. As we come to the close today, God bless you. We're gonna pick right back up here on the next podcast. But I want to tell you something. Praise the Lord today. Fear him. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him reverence. People, listen. God, remember your people today. Remember that we owe you all of our praise. We owe you every bit of praise. We owe you all that we are and who we are. And so we shout unto you for joy today. And we give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you majesty, dominion, power. Those who've heard this podcast today, let them break out in praise. Let them break out in joy. Let them break out, hallelujah, in what they were created to do. You designed us to give you praise. and we give you glory. Come back with me on the next episode of the podcast. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless you. Keep us in tune as we give God praise and honor and glory, majesty, dominion, and power. Until next time, Jerry O. Robinson said, God bless you, and may the greatness of the Lord be yours.